Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Alex Sabio is a healthcare worker by day, is a respiratory therapist in Southern California. He purchases and manages luxury short-term rentals in high-traffic vacation destination markets. He's also invested in single-family in multiple states, multifamily syndications, and he is now focusing on obtaining strong cash flow through short-term rentals. Alex, welcome to the show.
Sam, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Hey, man, the pleasure's all mine. Short-term rentals is a hot topic right now. Golly, that's a market that is exploding. But, you know, before we really get into the nuts and bolts of what you do and how you've gotten into it, can you briefly tell us the same questions I ask everybody who comes on the show? Where'd you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
Yeah, so my name is Alex Sabio. I live in Southern California. Started investing early 2000s. Started with single family, made a ton of mistakes along the way, and was greatly affected by the 2008 recession, just like everyone else. And didn't think I'd get back into real estate investing. Tell you the truth, I had a bankruptcy. I had a foreclosure. I was an awful investor. But I knew that there was something there, right? I knew that I didn't want to walk away with this from real estate and not learn from it, not apply everything that I learned. So I got back into it, invested in multiple different states in long-term rentals. I invested in Ohio, Alabama, North Carolina, Texas. And eventually I started getting going again in 2013. And I said, hey, you know what I want to do now is I want to focus heavily on cash flow, because that's really what my mistake was. That's why I went bankrupt. That's why I had a foreclosure, because I had all of these negative cash flowing properties. And at a certain point, I just ran out of energy. And so 2020, I wanted to scale the business, right? I wanted to blow it up. I said, hey, I'm hungry. I want to expand the portfolio. And I looked into multifamily. And as you know, early 2020, COVID hit. And it completely ruined my plans. And, you know, I tried to get into multifamily. It just wasn't happening, to tell you the truth. I just wasn't getting any good deals. Lending became almost impossible. And so I started doing some research, and my tax advisor kind of told me, she said, hey, why don't you get into short-term rentals? They make a little bit more money. I said, okay, let me look into that. And I kind of said, hey, what is the best short-term rental market out there? And people kind of pointed me in one direction, and that's how I got there. And with short-term rentals, it's all about cash flow. That's really what it is. I'm not really worried about appreciation or anything like that, although it's icing on the cake. But that's what I focus heavily in on now. I focus on luxury short-term rentals. I have this niche and what I like to target.
Alex, that's awesome. I love that. And that's a very tough thing to find in today's competitive environment, finding cash flow. I mean, that was what everybody preached forever. And, you know, like you said, you know, in multifamily and places like that, yes, it can be found. Yes, we are still closing deals in that space. Man, it's tough. It's tough to find.
Yeah. And a lot of times I was still finding like long-term rental deals or even multifamily deals where each door was going to cash flow 100, 200 bucks. And it just wasn't enough for me and my goals. I wanted my wife to retire as soon as possible. And I wanted to retire as soon as possible and I wanted to replace my income. So these short-term rentals, they, like I said, they generate so much cash flow to where we can do that. So
what's the plan if the market takes another dump and you're stuck with these rental properties that aren't being rented as much as they are right now?
Yeah. And that's the nice thing about it. Short-term rentals is all about marketing, right? Having the best pictures out there, and you have to buy it right. I mean, my short-term rentals, each home is cash flowing probably $5,000 a month. That's after all expenses. And so it's hard for me to imagine it going down to zero, right? I'm heavily invested in these markets where demand is just driving up profits. There's just not enough places for people to stay in these markets that I'm investing in. So would I be okay with just profiting $1,000 to $2,000? I'd be okay with that. But what I think I can do as an owner operator is I think I could outwork the competition. I mean, I focus heavily on marketing, making my property Instagrammable. My property gets awesome reviews. We make customer service a priority. And like I said, we have like 5-star reviews left and right. And I think my properties stand out above the competition. So if the market does dump, I'm not worried about the value of the home dumping, and I'm in this for cash flow.
What do you mean when you say it's Instagrammable? Like, I've never even heard that term. So tell us what that means and what does it mean to you?
It's crazy, right? I don't get it either. I'm 41 years old. Like right now, I'm working with an artist right now, and we're trying to install a mural. And the mural is going to have these like these butterfly wings. It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. But when people see those butterfly wings, they want to book it. And people want to envision themselves sitting at these vacation properties and brag that they're in, you know, like my properties are in Tennessee. And, you know, I have like the city names all over the place. And people just want to brag on social media saying, hey, I'm at this location. And that's really what it's about.
That's crazy.
Doesn't make sense to me, but people will pay for it. And I'm willing to put it in. So,
wait, shoot, man, those are industry hacks. They probably, again, to you and me, like, I couldn't give a rip, right? Yeah. Like, okay, right. Great city. What a blah. Am I having fun? Is my family having fun?
Right.
But those are little things that you just go, wait, it's when you figured out your market and your market isn't you.
Right. Exactly. And like I said, I don't get it, but people will pay for it. Like all my rentals have a picture, like I have a hot tub in every single one of my short-term rentals. And you have to highlight that. People love a hot tub. I don't get it. You know what I mean? But people out there, they see a hot tub, they want to jump in. They want to have that picture with the sunset and have a glass of wine or something like that. That's what you want to try to highlight. You want to highlight the experience. And I think that's where short-term rentals are going, right? I mean, if you look at the market, people want something unique. People want that experience. That's really what they're searching for. And people are willing to pay for an experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt that it is the experience that people are hunting. And it may be it's taken off because people aren't hunting for that experience in a hotel setting.
Right.
They're looking for something they can take the whole family and do. How have you done this without, I mean, because those are a lot of moving pieces. What little cutesy wood art cutout piece that says the city name stuck on the wall? What fancy butterfly picture? What hot tub vendor? Where are they installing it? Like, this is a bunch of, I mean, this sounds like a housing flip on steroids, which I've sworn off.
That's really what it is. You're trying to make it just absolutely amazing. I've gotten lucky. I've bought these things, like the market that I invested in, they come fully furnished. I bought all my short-term rentals. They're brand new and they came fully furnished. And that's why I bought with this builder. He's buying them specifically for short-term rentals and he understands design. Guests absolutely love it. And so that's kind of what I do. And they're pretty much 98% ready. And then I go in there, add a little touch to it. That's all I do.
So you're building ground up short-term rentals.
Yeah, I don't know if I would say me building because it's almost like buying tract housing. Like if you go to D.R. Horton or KB Homes and they're releasing a new phase and I'd say, I want that. And there's no real bidding war. And I've created like a really good relationship with my realtor to where she kind of feeds me those deals first before anyone else, before it hits the market. She knows I'm ready to buy and I'm going to close. And she knows what I do with it. You know, she knows that I put in a lot of work. I think a lot of other people, when they buy vacation homes, they're just going to go with what's there. And to be honest with you, they down to the ground, they use property management or something like that. And they just don't get that love. I tend to pour a little bit more money back into the business.
Yeah. So essentially the model, if I'm understanding correctly, is more of a spec builder.
Pretty much.
Yeah. It's a spec builder with a vacation rental twist to it.
Right. Exactly. I'm open to something else. I'm open to doing something creative and stuff like that. But to be honest with you, I'm a little lazy with that. I just wanted to start making money day one. I could definitely find something like in Joshua Tree, California, which is an hour and a half away from me. I would have to put in so much more work to make it Instagrammable and do a complete gut job. But the thing is, the second I sign on the dotted line, escrow, they give me keys. I'm on the market in two weeks. And I'm starting to make money right then and there versus waiting like 2-3 months or something like that, not making any revenue. I would have made so much more time because like here, we just closed on a property end of May. And then I was on market middle June. Now, middle June, I'm averaging $1,000 a night, right? And so the longer I take trying to, you know, do more work into it, I'm losing $1,000 every single night. So I'm like trying to get it on the market as soon as possible.
Well, yeah, that's a strong motivator. How are you financing these deals?
So I have invested in long-term rentals. And so I got lucky over time, those built up equity, like slowly over time. And I've been pulling money from those. I've been financing them just regular conventional financing right now. We are getting to a point where like debt to income is going to become an issue. And so now we're looking at different lenders and going into commercial with a DSCR loan. So that's something we're looking into.
Right. That was going to be my question. You know, you've gone conventional up to a certain point, and then, you know, you probably tap out on that front.
Right. But what I tell people, I think people worry about that initially, right? Those are the biggest fears initially. But I tell people, man, just get into the game, figure that stuff out later on. You know, those are problems that are going to come later on. And then you'll figure it out. Once you start making, you're generating enough money. With me, I obsess with it. And I just start asking questions left and right from different people. Like, hey, how did you figure it out? Because someone's figured it out before already. There's tons of people that have figured this out. There's not people out there with just 2-3 homes and then that's it. There's people that have grown. And so now I've reached out. It's crazy because once you find one, all of a sudden the floodgates come. And then you're like, oh, there's so many other lenders out there that, you know, are willing to work with me.
Right. That's brilliant. What about management and systems? What do you do on that front?
Well, that's the funny thing. So if the IRS is watching, I spend 500 hours a year on this.
You spend a lot more than that, to be honest.
Yeah, right. And so we have automated systems out there. And, you know, I'll tell you the truth. I always say I wish I would have gotten into short-term rentals 4 or 5 years ago. But to tell you the truth, I don't know if I would have, just because the technology has been developing so much more within the past few years. I mean, think about like even a security camera, right? I have a Ring floodlight. That's my go-to thing. I mean, how long have Ring floodlights been around? And even when they first started coming out, I mean, like the Ring doorbell, I mean, how many bugs were there with that? And definitely, we probably didn't need to have those things. But for me, I feel more comfortable having them. Or like I have a Wi-Fi door lock that will automatically create the guest code for the time they check in to the time they check out. That technology is actually still, like, you know, in its infancy right now. So, and there's all of these different apps that help automate like messaging and stuff like that, to the point where you're having to just talk to the guests or message the guests when problems arise. Like my guest just messaged me saying, hey, the hot tub isn't heating up. Well, the crazy thing with that is I have like pre-written like messages for these guests too. So all I have to do is just send that message. So.
Yeah, those are the things you've got to implement in order to cut down that communication time. One of the common struggles I see in scenarios like this is that the technologies don't all talk to each other.
Right.
How have you overcome that?
Yeah, it's true. There are definitely times when I want to go with a certain service and a certain app and it hasn't. They don't talk to one another. I think the technology is going to get better over time to where they do talk to one another. There's an answer to everything, right? And the thing is, none of, like, I have a channel manager, and the channel manager I use is YourPorter. It's not perfect by any means. You know, there's definitely other channel managers that are way better, but YourPorter does the trick and it automates the process and it does talk to my door lock to give the guest that code. So, and really the thing is, I could add another channel manager on top of that. That's the beauty with these short-term rentals. They generate so much money that you can solve problems. Because if I added another channel manager, it'd be, what, $20 more a month to have that feature. And like I said, like on average, our rentals are generating anywhere from $10,000 to $15,000 gross every single month. So to add $20 is a drop in the bucket.
Right. That's one of the scaling facets, not that gets overlooked, but it's a benefit I think a lot of people don't consider until they're in it. When all of a sudden they go, wait, we've got the budget to solve problems.
Right.
When you're squeaking out $200 a month on a long-term rental, you're going, oh, crud, I don't have the budget to put the software in to call the technician to get it. It's like,
yeah,
you're there manually doing it just so you can continue to squeak out $200 a month.
Yeah, definitely. I had short-term rentals in Cleveland and I was generating, you know, $200 a month. And then some of them were generating more, like $500 a month, which was cool. But then after 2-3 years, they're moving out and I was in C-class neighborhoods and it was costing me $5,000-$6,000, you know, just to turn it around. And you're like, oh man, there goes all my profit, you know? And so with long-term rentals, I found that there wasn't enough meat on the bone. And the only way really to blow up the long-term rental is just to get more. Like you're talking like 100, 200 long-term rentals, or get into multifamily, get a, you know, 200 unit apartment complex. So that was the only way I saw that possible. And that was my plan with multifamily, but eventually I got into short-term rentals. And the cool thing with short-term rentals, I'm loving it right now. I'm investing in vacation markets. Like people are, for the most part, they're in good moods. They're in vacation, you know, and then we get to use it. We get to go out to these vacation destination markets and do a business trip, you know, and enjoy it ourselves. So,
right. Go inspect your properties and whatever else it is that you have to do there. That's all very valid points. And one of the, you know, those are just some hangups that, you know, have to be overcome. What are some current challenges you're facing in your business that you're trying to solve?
Yeah, my biggest problem is that, and I never thought I'd say this, is I have too much money and not enough properties. I just can't find the properties. I mean, I don't know about you. I hate seeing money in my bank account because my bank account's not making money. I mean, when you see $100,000, $200,000 sitting there for months at a time, you're like, man, this $100,000, $200,000 would have generated, you know, how much money I'm generating for my properties. You know, I'm making $10,000, $15,000 a month in the busy season. I mean, our two short-term rentals in July generated $64,000. Yeah. And we profited $35,000. And that's the cool thing with short-term rentals. You don't need that many short-term rentals to get financially secure. And so that's really my issue right now. I'm trying to reach out to as many agents as possible and underwriting and analyzing as many deals as possible because we're hungry. We want to have as many of these short-term rentals as possible.
Right. Yeah. It's funny. Everybody's got problems. They might look different depending on where you are in the process. And while you may not have the zeros attached to it that the monster family offices and hedge funds do, it's the same issue though.
Yeah.
They're sitting on capital going, where do I safely deploy this in order to get a return?
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, hey, better to be in that position than going, gosh, where's my next paycheck coming from?
Right. Right. Problem.
It's a great problem to have. Yeah. In the world of problems, we'll take that one. What about a healthcare worker by day as a respiratory therapist? Still doing that?
Absolutely love doing that. I specialize with NICU and PICU. So I love working with neonates. I've worked with neonates like under 500 grams. Absolutely love that.
What's 500 grams in pounds for all of us who suck at the metric system?
Okay. So I've taken care of a baby as small as a Coke can, right? Weighing that much. And with premature babies, their issue is respiratory. And so we're vital, like their lungs are underdeveloped. And that's why they're not going to survive is just you need to be able to breathe for them and for, you know, weeks at a time. So I absolutely love doing that. At a certain point, you start getting pulled from different directions. And so I love helping others. That's kind of why I got into the healthcare field. But now I get a joy of helping other people invest because everyone sees my success, right? And they're like, hey, I want to do what you're doing. How do we do it? And to be honest with you, I got a big fat mouth and I just tell everyone everything, you know, probably to my disadvantage. Like for a period there, I was telling everyone, oh, I love my cleaners. This is my cleaners. You could use my cleaners. And all of a sudden she got too big and she wasn't doing a good job. But the thing is, I love seeing other people succeed. So I could see myself venturing from respiratory therapy to full-time real estate. It's just hard. I mean, I'm making just enough or from real estate as I am in respiratory therapy. And then I have right now I'm building two more short-term rentals. And so once those go live, you're talking about doubling my income from real estate versus what I'm making in respiratory therapy. So it's hard for me to stay in that field.
Yeah, that's a bummer, man. And again, a good problem to have.
Right.
Because most people are going, where's the exit? Let me run. Can I get out of here fast enough?
Yeah, I'm here to help you. Come on in.
Right. No, that's fabulous, man. I love that. Hey, before we jump here into the final four questions, anything else as it pertains to scaling, short-term rentals, just thoughts on the economy, wherever you guys are in business that you'd love to share with our listeners?
Yeah, I don't know how much I really want to scale the business. I know different owner operators that want to have like 100 of these just because, and I can definitely see myself doing that. But why am I investing in real estate to begin with? I mean, the goal was to have more time off, to replace my W-2, inspire others, but really spend time with my family. I mean, if I have 100 short-term rentals, do I really want to answer to 100 guests? And maybe it gets to a point where I hire a virtual assistant or even hire a manager for that position. I don't know if I want that. Maybe I just have 5 or 6 short-term rentals. I mean, that's my goal, 4, 5, or 6 short-term rentals. I think conservatively, I'll generate about $25,000 a month profit. I'm cool with that. you know, I'm cool with that. And then at that point, can I just help others along the way invest and kind of do the same thing I'm doing?
Man, I really respect that, because everybody always says bigger is better, or, you know, they're like, well, now you made your 10 million. So how are you going to make your 100 million?
Yeah.
And if you can content, which it sounds like that's your aim, be content with what you've got, enjoy your time. I mean, you're 900% ahead of the bulk of the population.
Right.
That's awesome to set your sights where you want it. And, you know, find that contentment there. So best of luck to you in that endeavor.
Thanks.
I have four questions for you. First one is this. If I gave you just $20,000 to invest in real estate with no previous real estate investing experience, what would you do with it and why?
$20,000 for what I'm doing really isn't that much. What I would do is I would actually partner with someone that knows what they're doing and maybe go into a short-term rental themselves. I have a little brother who's trying to do the same thing. He has $30,000 and he keeps sending me deals right now. And I'm like, you know what? This is a little too aggressive. And he's learning a lot from it. You know, we're pushing the budget a little too far. And I'm telling him, you know what, let's back down. Let's try to find condos instead of these big homes that I tend to focus in on. So definitely look into partnership. Because I think a lot of times people have that $20,000 and they say, you know what, I can't do anything with it. Let me try to save up to $30,000. Let me try to save up to $40,000. Let me try to save up to $50,000. Next thing you know, 1, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years have gone by and you haven't done anything.
Right.
So really just partner with someone, just start in the, get in the game right now.
Right. That's great. Question number two, if you could help our listeners avoid one mistake in real estate, what would it be and how would you avoid it?
The mistakes I made initially, I mean, my first deal was a scam. I wanted to invest in out of state. I invested in this duplex in Colorado and they said, hey, that you need $16,000. It's 5% down. And I looked at a coworker who was doing it and I kind of took her word. I even went out there and visited and it wound up being a scam. The guy went to jail and everything. He was buying this huge community and it, he was taking a bunch of people's money. So really it's all about getting out of your bubble. Just because the one person next to you is succeeding, try to find other people that are also succeeding and they'll just jump into the first thing that you see just because your coworker or your auntie is doing well in that thing. There's so many ways that you can invest in real estate, so many other ways that you could make money. Get out there and start networking. Talk to as many people as you can.
Yeah, no, that's great. Question number three, when it comes to investing in the world, what's one thing you're doing right now to make the world a better place?
Oh, geez. I think I like to give back. I give like 100 times more than I receive. And so really, it's all about helping others, learning from my mistakes. Really, that's all it is. They could save so much time. And like I said, I have a big fat mouth. I'll let you know all the mistakes I made. You know, I think that's the biggest thing I'm doing.
Oh, man. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That's great. Alex, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, what is the best way to do that?
I'm very active on social media. Just look for me on Instagram, The Real Alex Sabio, on Facebook, Alex Sabio. I did create a community for healthcare professionals who want to invest in real estate. If you look up healthcare professionals investing in real estate, I am there. I'm pumping out content. And yeah, look for me there.
Awesome. Alex, thank you so much for your time today. Do appreciate it.
Cool. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.